Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod, where we talk to all the interesting people of the San Luis Valley. Hey, we're here at the end of the week, and we're with Megan Lang. She's the program director for Tu Casa. Megan, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it's good to see you, and you've brought a few people with you. Tell us who's with us and what they do for Tu Casa, and we'll talk a little bit more about all the work that you guys do.
Okay, yeah, so I have Shelly Martinez. She is our program director on the SLVCAC, or the Children's Advocacy Center. And then we have Tiffany Martinez. She is our education outreach coordinator.
Woo! Shelly and Tiffany, how are you guys? Good to meet you, Shelly. I met you not in December is when I first met you, and that was at the Gingerbread Festival at the Rio Grande Farm Park. That was pretty cool. Enjoyed that event.
That is where we met.
And Tiffany, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good, good, good. Hey, we're going to talk about the outreach and education job and the work that you do, because that's a revamped program there at Tu Casa, right, Tiffany?
That is correct, and I'm excited to jump on board with Tu Casa and get this started.
Tell us a little bit more about the outreach and education program and what you're going to do there.
So basically, I'm going to be doing outreach and education throughout the community and also in the school. So my personal belief is that education is a main part of prevention. And so I'm super excited to, you know, start this up and getting in the schools and the community just to spread the word. So hopefully we can get, you know, the education piece across.
Yeah, it sounds like really important work coming up for you. You know, we asked Tu Casa to come in today to talk about all the programs and all the work that they do, and they do it all through Tu Casa Inc. And Megan, explain a little bit more for us how the organization is structured and set up and what the core role is that Tu Casa plays.
Yeah, so Tu Casa Inc. is kind of our umbrella agency. Within Tu Casa Inc., there are two organizations or agencies. So there's Tu Casa and there's the SLVCAC, so the Children's Advocacy Center. So Tu Casa focuses on providing services to survivors of domestic violence, sexual assault, human trafficking, and stalking.
Shelly?
Yes.
Children's Advocacy Center.
Yes, the Children's Advocacy Center is another program under the Tu Casa umbrella, and we provide services to children 0 to 17, and we provide forensic interviews, family advocacy, and we have a newer SANE program that provides SANE exams and wellness exams.
So that's a lot of really heavy and important work that all three of you do here in Alamos in the San Luis Valley. And I want to ask you here, we're at the end of the week. What's a typical week for each of you? What's a typical week? And here in January, as you go into 2023, how do you plan or look or establish what your year is going to be like?
So it's social work. There's not a normal day or normal week. It changes a lot. For Tu Casa advocates, it's a lot of ongoing advocacy. So meeting with survivors, offering support, education, information, referrals. We have an emergency shelter where we're able to provide short-term emergency stays for survivors who are actively fleeing a perpetrator. We also have a 24-hour hotline that we man between staff and volunteers. So at any point, if a survivor needs assistance, they can call us. And then we also offer like court accompaniments, legal assistance. We're not attorneys, so we can't provide legal advice, but we can offer information on the legal process, help fill out protection order applications, all that kind of good stuff.
Is there such a thing as a typical caseload then for you? I mean, you talked about the social work and that is it's hard to find a typical week that I asked. What about caseloads, or what are the trends that you've seen, or what are you dealing with as the coordinator there at Tu Casa?
Yeah, so we try to average caseloads around 12 to 15 per advocate at a time. That doesn't always happen. It kind of depends on what the community need is at the point, how many survivors are reaching out and asking for assistance. I can tell you that we had 240 new clients last calendar year, so for 22. And within that, we provided 965 nights of shelter. So that's about 3 people in our shelter every night of the year.
And are all your shelters based in Alamosa, or how do you provide services outside Alamosa across the valley? Because I know that you do.
Yeah. So our shelter is at a confidential location, so I can't disclose like what where that is, but we do offer services for all survivors in the San Luis Valley. So we offer services for each county. Our home base office is here in Alamosa, so we try to get survivors in, but we also recognize transportation can be an issue. So we try to go out and meet survivors where they are if they need. So if somebody in San Luis called, we could meet them at like a public location somewhere there, or same in center or wherever.
And Shelley, what about the Children's Advocacy Center? What is a week look like for you, the staff there? And what are your caseloads like?
So I will say the same thing as Megan. There's really no usual week or usual day. You can go in thinking you're going to do certain things, and you'll get a phone call, and that changes everything. As far as what it looks like, we do forensic interviews during the week. Those are referred to us by specific agencies. We only take referrals for forensic interviews from the Department of Human Services, law enforcement, and the DA's office. So we can have a forensic interview, a few forensic interviews throughout the week. We have what's called case review. Case review is a multidisciplinary team, so anyone who is involved in the case attends the meeting, gives updates, that kind of thing. It's just an opportunity for all of the partnering agencies that are working very hard on these cases to get together and make sure that it's going the way that it should. Let me think what else I do during the day. A lot of emails, a lot of planning, working with families specifically. We do have a caseload. I do not have a normal caseload, to be honest with you. It can range from 10 to 15 per advocate. There's two advocates currently right now. Actually, there's three. We just had one start in January. She does not have a caseload at this time, so that's why I was referring to only two of us. Our other advocate has more cases. I would say she has more, from 20 to 30 cases. But she does. She is a family advocate, strictly a family advocate. I myself do the forensic interviews as well. So if I am a forensic interviewer, I'm not the family advocate. So then my caseload is a little bit less because I do the forensic interviews.
And you and I, you know, we talked at the beginning that I met you originally back in December, and I went to the drive-through gingerbread house festival that was at the Rio Grande Farm Park. And, you know, I was struck by the number of families that were lined up on the highway that participated in that event. I was just stunned at just the participation level, and made me more interested and curious too about all the work that you do. What was that gingerbread festival like in terms of numbers this year? What did you do there? And what are the other types of programming that you do through the Children's Advocacy Center, through Tu Casa, that is reaching families, children, similar to this, or other programs that you do?
So I'll speak to the gingerbread festival. That is something that we've done for quite a while. It used to be an in-person event, and then when COVID hit, we did switch to a drive-through, which has become extremely popular. We had 655 people attend that activity and that festival. It is free to the public, and it is our way of giving back to all of our communities. It is not an Alamosa community event. It is a valley-wide. We put posters up in all of the counties to try to, you know, let them all be invited and be included as well. We do collect, it is a free event, but we do collect food donations that we give to our community partner food banks or food pantries, whatever they want to call them. We have a lot of people who work with us to make that event the successful event that it is. Sweet Life Bakery here in Alamosa, she provides all of the gingerbread kits. There's a gingerbread and frosting and decorations in each kit that we give to each kid that comes through. And she has people who donate and help her out because we have her make over 400, or we have her make 400 cookies, not over 400 cookies. But and so she has people who partner with her, people like John Deere, Peak Motorsports, Johnson Farms, S&D Express, and Over the Top Fencing. They all worked with the Sweet Life Bakery to provide those kits to the kids in our community.
Yeah, it was a big event. I mean, you have a lot of vendors and different services and different activities that were at that. I was really impressed by that.
Yes, the people who attended, besides TUCASA and the Children's Advocacy Center, are our partnering agencies, and then some, and then some extras. The Farm Park, they actually did a booth this year. They let us use the venue, and then they had a booth. Early Childhood Council, they are extremely supportive of our agency and provide us with things for kids all the time. Rocky Mountain Counseling is another partner that we refer families to for services, and they came to give back this year. Behavioral Health was also there. Dumb Friends League, they just like the event, so we like to have them. The animals draw everyone in.
Everyone likes Dumb Friends League.
And then last but not least, of course, Starbucks provided hot chocolate.
I missed that.
You did.
I missed the Starbucks.
They were beside us, right beside the cookies. So, oh, actually, no, they were on the other side this year. Sorry, I'm thinking of another year. We wanted them to be on when they first get there, so that everyone has time to drink their hot chocolate as they drive through the festival.
You know, I want to make sure that through this podcast we provide as much useful information as we can to people that listen to this, to the Valley Pod. And Megan, I wonder what advice, tips, things people should know if they find themselves in a difficult situation. How do you reach TUCASA? What would you tell people? What's useful for people to know here?
Yeah, so the easiest way to reach out is via our 24-hour hotline. So 719-589-2465. It is staffed all the time, 24/7, like I said earlier. It's the easiest way to get a hold of somebody. You can call, you know, when you're in that moment of crisis or when you're at a spot where it's safe to call and ask for services. We can schedule what we call an intake appointment, so a first appointment where we can meet with you, discuss what your needs are, your situation. We can provide those referrals or resources at that time. We can do some safety planning via our hotline with you if you need. We're not first responders. We're not that. So referring to like law enforcement if you need immediate assistance kind of stuff. But that's the easiest way to get a hold of us. Even for like a SANE exam, so a sexual assault nurse examination, just call that 24-hour hotline and we can get in touch with our on-call nurse to get something scheduled.
You know, one of the things I wonder about is I think about all the work that the three of you do is what is your background that brings you into this type of important work, this type of social work that you do? What are your backgrounds that moved you into this type of work that makes you want to do this type of work? Because it's very difficult work that you do.
Yeah, it is hard work and it takes a certain kind of person to do it. I have a degree in family studies and psychology. I recently moved to the Valley, but I've worked in the field for about 8 years in Michigan before moving. It's just something that hit close to my heart, some family experiences growing up, and so that's kind of what brought me here.
And Tiffany?
For me, it is kind of something that's near and dear to my heart because I am a survivor myself of domestic violence. Mm-hmm. So when this opportunity arose, I knew that this was something that I wanted to do. So I left my old job and I took the position because I just felt compelled to teach and educate people on these issues because, I mean, it's something that needs to be, you know, discussed.
As you're beginning to revamp the outreach and education program for TUCASA, as you're starting that work, how do you
enter into schools, or how do you establish that type of program?
Well, right now, I just started, so I'm in heavy training.
Right.
You can't start this position without doing intense training in domestic violence and sexual assault. So the majority of my whole week here, believe it or not.
Oh, you're fresh. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I am new. I am so new. This is, I think this is my, what is it called?
Are you from the Valley originally?
I am. I'm from Center.
Great.
So I was born and raised here. I moved to Pueblo for a little bit and then had to come back due to some, you know, domestic violence stuff. But now, I mean, we're starting this program from scratch. It's been a while since it has been in with Tucasa. So we're just getting in there and we're figuring things out. But I know that the program that we decide to do is gonna take off because we need to get into the schools and to the community and stuff like that.
It sounds like really, really critical, important work, and good luck to you on that. And Shelley, what about your background in terms of the Children's Advocacy Center and the work that you do there, and how long have you been there, and how does your path get there?
Okay, so I am also a college graduate with a sociology degree. I started my career in child welfare. I was a child protection caseworker for 9 years. I did the when I left child welfare, I went to Tucasa and became the sexual assault response team coordinator, which is the other half of Megan's job. So I did start out at Tucasa on the Tucasa side, working with adults of sex assault and working with our communities to build a sexual assault response team. For whatever reason, I can't remember what year it was that I switched over, but the child advocacy side was looking for backup forensic interviewers. We had two full-time interviewers, and then we just wanted backup interviewers. So I switched over to the Children's Advocacy Center and became a forensic interviewer and a family advocate. And I've been there now at Tucasa for 10 years in March. It'll be 10 years in March. And so my passion has always been about protecting children. I was very interested in the sexual assault response team just because it was something different than I had ever done. And I really did enjoy that position. I enjoyed that job. But my passion for protecting children came back as soon as the position opened up on the child advocacy side. So, yeah.
What I really find interesting and fascinating about the work that all of you do and the work that Tucasa does is how you're able to do this important work, but also find occasion to recognize the volunteers that you do, to recognize the staff, to recognize the victims. And I find that really important part of the work that you do, Megan. Can you talk a little bit more about Tucasa and what you see ahead as you're settling in here and what that looks for you in 2023?
Yeah, so we definitely would not function without our volunteers. We rely on them for a lot of things. They partner with us on running our 24-hour helpline. They help us with our large fundraiser event every year that we hold, whether that's set up or donating auction items for our silent auction, that kind of stuff. We really are really grateful for our volunteers. Our survivors, we do a couple different events every year just to honor survivors as a whole, but also honor survivors in our valley. So January is National Stalking Awareness Month and National Human Trafficking Prevention Month. So we do a lot of like social media outreach and education. We have different colored ribbons to represent each of those things that we provide out to community members, ask them to wear, partnering agencies. February is Teen Dating Violence Month. So kind of same stuff that we do. April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month and Sexual Assault Awareness Month. So we do a lot of things with that as well. We do social media outreach. We have our ribbons again. We do a poster contest, and we do like a bingo kind of event to pull in and engage the community. And then lastly, October is our Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So we do an annual event called Light Up the Night in October, where we invite community agencies, community members to come. It's free. We generally do it at Cole Park. Just a night to remember and honor survivors and those affected by domestic violence.
Yeah, that's a good heads up on the calendar for the year, Megan. Are there other calendar events you want to highlight?
Yeah, so August 25th this year, we have our annual Starry Night Ball. It is our largest fundraiser of the year. We sell tickets for it. We have a silent auction there. We generally have like a guest speaker come in and talk to our issue or talk to our work. It's a good time. We really appreciate people coming out and supporting us. We take a couple minutes to honor survivors. We present awards to community partners who have just done exemplary work in this field. So,
and we, you know what, that's all really good information. And I think also that at times you are looking for board members because you have a board of directors for the nonprofit. I don't know if you have separate boards for Tucasa Inc. and Tucasa and the children. I don't know how your board works, but give us a little bit of insight of the board or that process, and then how do you get involved, or are you looking for board members at this time?
Yeah, so we have one board of directors that covers our entire Tucasa Inc. agency or umbrella agency. I think we have 7 members right now, so we're definitely looking for more members. If somebody wants to get involved, they can definitely reach out. You would want to connect with our executive director, Teresa Ortega, in order to talk about what that process looks like or if you want to become a board member. So you can reach her by calling our hotline number, or you can email her at teresa@slv2casa.net.
We appreciate that. Hey, we appreciate all three of you coming in and enlightening us again on the work of Tucasa and the work at the Children's Advocacy Center. It's been a pleasure to meet you, Megan. Pleasure to meet you, Tiffany and Shelley. Megan, give us one more time your hotline number, and then we're going to let you guys go.
Yeah, so our hotline number is 719-589-2465.
Hey, we appreciate that. Hey, you've been listening to the Valley Pod and our episode with Tucasa and with the Children's Advocacy Center. The Valley Pod is produced by Angel Rodriguez and is part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. We'll see you around the Valley.
Valley Calendar is the most comprehensive listing of events, putting all the Valley events in one place. To submit your event to the Valley Calendar, go to alamosacitizen.com. Click on the Valley Calendar link and fill out the online form. Or you can send an email to info@alamosacitizen.com with your event information. It's the Valley Calendar on alamosacitizen.com. All the Valley events in one place.